Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Franchise Interviews. For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 6 years now, we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs along with. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Gretchen Hollyfield, the founder of the Dog Wizard Franchise Opportunity. And since its launch in 2005, the Dog Wizard has produced successful results for hundreds of dogs and continues to offer dog lovers with a tremendous business opportunity in more than a $50 billion pet industry. We're going to talk to Gretchen about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we have a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 6 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs of one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Gretchen Hollyfield, the founder of the Dog Wizard Franchise Opportunity, and since its launch in 2005, the Dog Wizard has produced successful results for hundreds of dogs and continues to offer dog lovers with a tremendous business opportunity in the more than $50 billion pet industry. Hey, Gretchen, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, Gretchen. Well, I'd like to ask our guest, where are you calling from this morning?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, nice. How's the weather down there today, Gretchen?
It's actually really nice here today.
It's that's great.
It's about 65, so we're loving life down here.
Wow, of course. It's perfect. Is that where the headquarters actually is located for the Dog Wizard, Gretchen?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's great. You had an interesting story. You know, when I was researching your background a week ago, I said, wow, you know, we have to have you on the show. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the history of the Dog Wizard and, you know, a little bit about what you were doing and what prompted you to launch the company, because I thought it was a great story.
Okay. Well, I've always been a dog lover. I think there's been 2 years of my life that I've not had a dog, and it was my freshman and sophomore year of college when I couldn't have a dog in the dorm room.
Right.
So I've always loved dogs, and when I got out of school, I started working a traditional job and more what I thought I would be doing the rest of my life, and I was just miserable.
Yeah.
So I started looking at I had a person coming to my house and helping me train a dog, and that's when I realized, oh my goodness, you can do this for a job. This is something people do for a living. And so I started looking into it, and I went to a dog training school. And then when I got out, I had these high hopes that I was going to be, you know, a dog trainer and, you know, living life large and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it took me a really long time to get to where, you know, I could honestly do it every day and support myself and not work 2 to 3 other jobs. So after a lot of trial and tribulation, I started researching and finding, you know, the best, what works the best, what results, what gets results, what makes dogs happy, people happy. And that's when I launched the Dog Wizard, 2005, and really haven't looked back since. It's been, you know, just growing steady, and I think just doing the research of those, paying my dues and all those years actually paid off down the road, and that's what we're trying to help people now with the franchising system is not, you know, helping them not have to go through those five, six years of hard work and trying to figure it out.
Making the same mistakes that you made in the beginning, you know, so they don't have to do that, and capitalizing on all the successes you've had as well. It was interesting because when I was reading about you, I think what caught my eye, too, was that even though you didn't enjoy your previous career, you know, working in, like, the business world, you did have this appreciation for systems, you know, so it was almost like a godsend in a way, you know, realizing the importance of systems. And I like how you also – and I'm telling my business students this all the time, is my one piece of advice is to turn your passion into a career. And that's certainly what you did. And that's what I got from the story, didn't you?
Absolutely. And that's a good point. And, you know, learning, I think everything that happened to me was, you know, as far as where I worked and looking at the different systems. And the first, when I first got out of dog training school, I wasn't applying those systems to the dog training business. I was just doing what I loved, but wasn't applying the things I had learned. And once I realized that, hey, this is something I love, but it's also a business and it has to be treated like a business, that's when things started to really roll.
Absolutely. How do you describe the Dog Wizard franchise to, like, a prospective franchisee, Gretchen? I mean, if they came up to you at a franchise show and they were to say, so, you know, what do you do? Where do you typically go from there?
Well, you know, we talk about, you know, first off, being a dog trainer and running. And what we try to say is, you know, what we tell everyone is when you're a dog wizard, you are a dog trainer, but you're also a business owner. We try to make that, you know, right from the point. So, because you're going to do a lot of different hats. You're going to wear a marketing hat. You're going to wear, you know, your customer service hat. You're going to wear your dog training hat. All those pieces have to go together to make it successful. You can't just take one piece. You can be the greatest dog trainer in the world, but if nobody knows about you, your business is going to suffer. So, you know, we just teach people that it is about, you do have to be a dog lover, but it's not, you know, it's a difference between being a dog lover and, you know, being a business owner and a dog lover. It's a lot more involved.
Yeah, and I hate to use the word, they're two different animals, though, aren't they, in a way? You know
exactly.
What I mean? It's true. It's very complicated. I think there's a lot of, you know, dog lovers out there, but to turn it into a business, I think is very, very complicated, and you've been able to do that, and now you're able to actually teach it. What are some of the reasons that somebody would bring their pet to the Dog Wizard? I mean, what are some, like, examples, Gretchen?
Well, most common things are, you know, dogs that are just, you know, out of control, jumping on people. You know, the door opens, one of the kids leaves the door open, and the dog bolts down the street, and it takes them, you know, 30, 40 minutes to catch the dog.
Right.
Or, you know, we've seen a lot of aggression, you know, in dogs, dog aggression, people aggression. Those are, you know, the most common, you know, calls we get.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great business to be in because, you know, it's in other businesses I've worked in doing sales, every person that calls us needs us. So
right.
we're going to their house to talk about their problems, and they really need us. So it's just about us explaining how we can help solve their problem. So it's, you know, it's not high pressure sales or anything like that.
Right. And they're desperate too, aren't they? We grew up. I grew up like yourself. I think I've had dogs most of my life, with the exception of now. We don't have one, but my one dog we had was 13 years old when she passed. It was a beagle, and she was just uncontrollable. And growing up as a kid, my parents were always saying how they were going to get rid of her because she was just like you said. She would bolt out the door, and we spent many days trying to catch her. And
right.
You know, I said I wish this service was available around back then because I suffered as a child because, you know, they promised every week that dog was going. I mean, she was just out of control. So I said, wow, this is really, it's a wonderful service. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of those stories. And it must be wonderful for you to see the end result, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, we work with, you know, a lot of people will go into their house and they'll tell us, like, this is the last resort. You know, this has to work or we can't keep this dog.
Right.
Or we're working with a, you know, a fearful dog that's scared to death of everything, and we help
mm-hmm.
bring it out so that it can start enjoying the world. But nothing is better than, you know, even the families that, you know, have the dog that's out of control, most of the time the dog is having to be separated. You know, if they're having guests over, they're going to put it outside or put it in the other room so it doesn't jump all over their friends.
Right.
So what we do is help the dog become under control so that they can be involved in. We teach them, you know, actually the calmer you are, the more attention you get. The dogs get, you know, more out of it than probably the humans,
mm-hmm.
but the humans just get, they get a lot out of it too because they can start enjoying their pet versus it you know, being a problem.
Yeah, it really is a win-win situation, isn't it, for everyone? I mean, the dog and the dog owner, of course, you know, because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, the dog is really a part of the family for a lot of people today. You know, I always say that the pet
Absolutely.
Seems to have elevated in society, you know, over the last, you know, certainly 30, 40 years.
It definitely has. And, you know, as long as, I mean, you know, of course, when I grew up, I didn't live in the suburbs of, you know,
mm-hmm.
it seems like we're building houses closer and closer together. There's
yeah.
less room for dogs to
yeah.
roam, and everybody's working longer hours. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
as long as those things continue to happen, dog trainers are going to have, you know, a high demand for
exactly.
a long time to come.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Has technology played a role in this business, Gretchen?
Well, it's helped streamline a lot of things, just like other businesses, just like scheduling softwares.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, our phone system is high-tech. I mean, our franchise system, when someone calls, for example, our Louisville, Kentucky location, they call a local number, and it rings our headquarters in Charlotte, and we answer
wow.
the phone and set appointments. So it lets people kind of appear like they've got that
right.
small town business, but yet, or at least a local business, but yet we're able to streamline all that. And then when we call them back, we can actually call from that number. So it appears as if we're calling from right there in Louisville. Things like
wow,
that have
great.
Been, you know, tremendously helpful. But other side is just the training side of it. We use electronic callers and training,
mm-hmm.
which is somewhat controversial. It's a very misunderstood method.
Right,
but once people
right.
understand how it works, they're, you know, ecstatically happy. Yeah. So I mean, it's paid of. It's. I think it's in every industry. It is, but you know, it's been. It's definitely made life easier for dog
mm-hmm.
trainers in the last several.
Absolutely, the industry is amazing. I mean, I've been involved in franchising now for like the last decade, and it's amazing on. The growth when you look at this particular industry. And I think I mentioned it earlier in the introduction. Is it not so like, is it $50 billion up to this point?
Yes. The last I saw recent stat was like 5.6 or 56 billion.
56, yeah. It just the numbers just seem to keep going up, you know, which I find fascinating, you know. And that's one of the biggest pieces of advice is to our listeners. We always tell them, you know, say, okay, look towards the industry, you know, and is there growth in that particular industry? And this is certainly one of them where it seems like the numbers just keep going up, you know. So
right.
It really is fascinating.
It was 17 billion in 1994. And
yeah,
that's
incredible. Yeah, when you look at
that
growth.
Ago.
Yeah, it really is fascinating. What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you since launching the Dog Wizard, Gretchen? I'm sure there's been a lot of things that have happened, but I guess if you could narrow it down to one or two, which is not always so easy to do.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that all morning. You know, I really think the most interesting thing is just with seeing the number of dogs we see at the Dog Wizard,
yeah.
Is just getting the exposure to all the different breeds. I mean, there's I think there's over 300 and some odd breeds of dogs nowadays. And, you know, most people, you could be like I was before I was a dog trainer, I was the biggest dog lover and love dogs.
Right.
But even in your lifespan, you're only going to get exposed to, you know, five or six of those breeds.
That's true.
We get exposed to, I mean, I've met breeds I never in a million years thought I would see, you know.
Wow.
And just getting, and it's, I was thinking about it a lot this morning and just kind of thinking about, hey, you know, in regular world, you know, you have this characteristics with, you know, lawyers, you know, certain people
sure.
say he's a lawyer. I kind of know what
right.
that guy's about or,
right.
you know, it's the same thing for dogs. We meet a, you know, we have a boxer coming in for evaluation. We're like, oh, okay, it's a boxer. Okay, well, we already know a lot about him before he even gets
right.
in the,
from experience,
you know,
right.
Exactly. And, you know, you can read that stuff in books like I had my whole life. Even in dog training school, I knew the characteristics. But it does not really make sense until you really see it and see it and see it. And now it's like, okay, there's a boxer coming in. I kind of know what
That's
expect.
Fascinating. Yeah, I bet you learned that from your franchisees too. Like, I mean, you know, and one of the things I love about franchising, Gretchen, is the ability to like share best practices. You know what I mean? The ability
right.
to, you know, people to say, well, we had this happen to us last week, or we had that happen to us the week before. You know, and
right.
it really is fascinating because it is curious. You know, I was thinking before the interview today as well. You know, as I had questions for you, are there differences between the breeds? Because we had growing up, I mentioned we had a beagle, and then we had Labradors pretty much the rest of our lives. And the beagle was very difficult to train, it seemed like, where the labs were more obedient, you know. And you always wonder, like,
yes.
you know, you hear the famous, like, quote, is like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But I didn't get that from when I was researching the dog.
Right.
It sounds like you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of that does depend on the breed and knowing that. I mean, beagles are much more independent dogs. They're
yeah.
not as interested in working as a team like a lab. A lab is
right.
much more eager to please. And it's,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
the dogs that get labeled, not, you know, they have the list of the smartest breeds. The dogs that are at the bottom of that list are not dumb dogs. They just
right.
don't care to work for you. So they would rather please themselves. They're going to find
sure.
a million ways around what you're asking them to do. And it doesn't mean that they're dumb. It means they're actually
right.
pretty smart.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, with the older dogs, I mean, it's certainly if you've got a dog that's been practicing a bad behavior for 6 years and you've got another dog, the same dog that's been practicing a bad behavior for a year, you know,
right.
it's about breaking a habit. All dog training is forming habits. We're forming good habits and we're breaking bad habits. So if they've been doing something for 6 years, it might take a little bit longer to break that habit, but it's still absolutely doable. And then a lot of other factors play into that. If it's a six-year-old lab that's been practicing a bad behavior, that's
right.
a lot easier to fix than a six-year-old beagle that's been practicing a bad behavior.
That's interesting, right. That's fascinating. It really is. And I guess it's the same with people, too, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you have a bad habit for 6 years and you're a person, it's difficult to break, isn't it? You know, versus
yes,
a six-month bad habit, you know.
Exactly. We use that example all the time. If you've been biting your nails for, you know, 10 years, it's a lot harder to break and you just started 6 months ago.
That is so true. It's so true. So what types of characteristics will you look for in your franchisees, or what do you look for, Gretchen, in your franchisees?
You know, of course, we want people that love dogs. I mean, they're going to be surrounded by dogs. But like
yeah.
I mentioned earlier, you know, we don't want someone that is that you can be the biggest dog lover, and there are people
right,
that
right.
they really want to humanize dogs, and they want to change their role in society. And although, you know, I love dogs, you know, as much as anything in this world. I understand that they're a dog, and they're more comfortable being a dog. They don't want to be a human.
True.
So, you know, first differentiating that for someone and, you know, making sure that this is what they want to do. They're going to be surrounded by dogs, and they have to be good with people, because we can train the dogs all day long, but ultimately we have to transfer that skill to the owner or it's not successful. So, you know, being good with people and knowing how to work with different personality types, you know, dealing with the people is just as more complicated than working with the dogs, because you have families with different personalities and different owners that, you know, are have different personalities. So you've got to learn how to speak to them that's going to make the most sense to them, that's going to produce the, you know, the best results. Aside from that, you know, somebody that's just a go-getter, you know, I feel like we can really teach them, as long as they have the desire and they're confident enough in themselves that you know, we can teach them, but they have to have that go-getter attitude of, I'm going to make this happen. I'm not going to look for reasons why it's not happening. I'm going to go out there and find reasons why it will happen.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think that's very well said. I think those are great examples. What's the training like? I mean, once you decide that, you know, you like them, they like you, and they begin the franchise process, they become a franchisee, what's the training like? It sounded like it was extensive.
It is pretty extensive. I would say it's probably the most in the industry. It's a four-month process. Start at six days a week, almost 8 to 10 hours a day. I mean, it is crammed. When we started with it at 6 months, and we only met 5 days a week. And it's almost too long. People were just having a really hard time being away, you know, for that long. So we crammed it in and are meeting longer hours, and, you know, asked everybody, kind of did a little poll, would you have rather been here 4 years and crammed in 6 days versus, you know, everybody said yes. So we just, you know, we have a high number of dogs. They sign up, so they're here. It's every day. They're hands-on experience. We do a lot of class time, just going over, you know, different characteristics and, you know, all the different business practices and marketing things. So it's like 60% hands-on training and 40% classroom.
That's great. And that happens down at headquarters, I assume, Gretchen. They come down to, is it North Carolina then?
Right, in Charlotte. And our our headquarter location is Charlotte, our first location, obviously. So they get to go on appointments with us. They get to go on evaluations.
Wow.
They get to do appointments. They get to do evaluations. So by the time they get to their location, they have done everything there is to do. It's like, oh, finally, I'm doing this for myself now. You know, it's not awkward feeling for them. They can step right out and look and feel as confident as if they've been doing it for, you know, 2 years.
And that's important too, of course, you know, I mean, because there is, of course, that nervousness in the beginning, you know, with anything that you're doing. So it sounds like they are very comfortable from day one once they start as their own, being their own franchisee. So I think that's great, you know. So maybe you could describe a typical day, which is always tough to do because sometimes there's not always a typical day. But if you could, you know, what is a typical day like for a Dog Wizard franchisee?
Well, it's awesome. they get to wake up, and usually most locations will have at least 1 to 2 boarding trains with them that they keep at their house. They get to wake up and go out and, you know, spend some time with the dogs in the morning, drinking coffee or, you know, practicing some commands, and then they'll go do like some training appointments at an owner's home. Most of the time they'll take, you know, a dog with them, if not their personal dog, a dog they're training, and they'll get to practice with them at the appointment. Then, you know, they can stop and eat lunch. We usually all try to pick an outside place. You'll have your dog or your training dog sitting outside with you, hanging out at lunchtime. So you're kind of marketing and training and eating lunch all at the same time. Because there's very few times you'll be in that situation where somebody's not asking you, how do you get your dog to stay there? So calm. And then they'll go do some more appointments and hit a couple parks and work with their dog. So the greatest thing about dog training is while you're doing your job, I mean, this is true in several industries, but you're also marketing. You're out there meeting people. And it's, wow. You know, you're really killing two birds with one stone, and it's very relaxing. You can hit, you know, sometimes you're going to want to hit a busy park, and sometimes you're going to want to go hit the calm, relaxing park. So you kind of gear it toward whatever the dog needs that you're working with. You're meeting owners in parks or at their home. So most locations have 2 to 3 appointments a day mixed in with just working with their board and trains.
That's fantastic. It really is a very clever form of marketing, as you mentioned. You know, it's like, as you said, killing two birds with one stone, you know, going where your target audience is.
Right.
You know, and people just observing that and saying, wow, how do you do that? You know, so I think it's really very clever. And I guess that you learn that through your own experience, you know, of just doing
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That's
and they
fantastic.
Get to do that while they're here. So when they go home, all this stuff is like, you know, they're just jump right into it. It's
right.
not like it's anything is different. They've been doing it for 4 months nonstop. So it's such an easy transition back when they finally open theirs.
That's great. What advice would you give to our listeners? We call them aspiring franchisepreneurs, Gretchen. A lot of them are set on, or they have the idea that they want to buy a franchise, but we find that a lot of them don't even know where to begin because there's just so much out there today. What advice would you give to them?
You know, I'm sure, like everyone says, is find something that you love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but know that when you go into it, it is a business. And, you know,
right.
doing the business
love that.
Side research, not just, you know, finding out, you know, if you love cars or
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever, if you love a car fanatic, knowing that that is one part of it, but find all the other pieces of that business and what you would be doing on a daily basis and make sure that that part is just as, you know, inspiring as the actual car part.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it all boils down to finding something you love myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I mean, I love dogs, you know, more than anything, and I get
right.
to be with them every day, and it's fun, and it's rewarding. Find something
mm-hmm.
that is rewarding to you. You said earlier, we get to see results, and that's so fun. And
absolutely.
Feel like you're contributing to society in a good way.
Exactly, a big part of society too. You know, I mean, because as you said, you know, there's just so many dogs out there. You know, so it really is. I think it's a great piece of advice. So, what's the future? I mean, that because you're the founder of the company, I can ask you. I mean, you know, where do you see the Dog Wizard, like maybe, you know, 3 to 5 years down the road, Gretchen?
Well, I mean, we want to help as many people that want to do this rewarding career. That's a good fit
mm-hmm.
for us.
Right.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to grow at a pace that's going to stay, that's going to keep our reputation intact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want the right people on our team because we really do consider it like a family and like a team. So, you know, we're going to keep trying to find the people that fit in well with us
mm-hmm.
and want to become, to help dogs and do this as a career. So, I mean, you know, we reach as many cities and help as many dogs as we possibly can. You know, I think we have a goal to open, if we can find the right people, 14 to 18 new locations a year. But like I said, if we, you know, we're not going to sacrifice just whoever we can get to
right.
to make that
right.
happen. So we're just going to grow at the pace we find the people that fit in well with us.
That's fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on the Dog Wizard, Gretchen? Is there any websites you'd like them to go to, any numbers
sure.
you can call?
The Dog Wizard Academy is
mm-hmm.
it's thedogwizardacademy.com.
Okay.
It has all the information about the franchise system, and it's got the phone numbers on there. I honestly don't even know our phone number.
That's okay. I think that the website is very informative, by the way. When I went to it, I thought it was a fantastic website. It was very informative, like you said.
Thank you.
I think it was great, you know. So it was wonderful to have you on the show, Gretchen, and I'd already like to invite you back next year as you continue to grow.
Thank you so much, Marty. I'd love to.
My pleasure, Gretchen. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Franchise Interviews. For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi everyone, this is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now over 2 years with over 111 shows under our belt, and during that time frame we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today you're going to get to hear from Steve Beagleman, who is a franchise expert and veteran, and Steve answers the question, should I go with a small franchise system or a large franchise system? And I thought Steve's response was quite brilliant. So first we'll hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then Steve Beagleman with, should I go with a small franchise system or a large franchise system? Take care, everyone.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Yeah, very important. So, you know, you've been with small startup franchise companies. You've been at the larger companies. What are some of the big differences between those two type of scenarios, Steve?
Well, Don, smaller companies obviously give a lot of attention to the franchisee. So, you know, every franchisee, you know that franchisee by name, you can get a hold of, you know, the owners of the company or the CEO of the franchise system. Pretty much you build very, very strong relationships when you're joining a smaller system. When you're joining a smaller system, you also typically get your choice of prime territory, maybe in your backyard where you want to be and open a business. You don't want to have to drive an hour to your store every day or your location.
Right.
So you get the prime territory, you get to know the you know, management team, the owners of the company and the concept, and really build that strong relationship. The challenge is the brands aren't as well known, so it takes time. And, you know, obviously you need to make a decision when you're a franchise candidate or a potential franchisee looking at concepts. Do you want to join a company that's in the infancy and the growth stage, or do you want to join a more established, you know, national brand that has presence but's going to have limited locations available? You might have to go a much farther distance to get that location, and they have, you know, proven systems in place. So you're going to have to follow that system to a T, and you're going to deal typically with a regional operations manager and training managers in that region. You're not going to get to know the top level of management in a large company, whether it's a, you know, Dunkin' Donuts or a Dairy Queen or Yum Brands. You're just not going to have that kind of interaction with the top management team. They're just too large of an organization. Again, great companies, but it all depends what you're looking for as a franchise, you know, candidate or potential franchisee.
It's a real interesting question, though, huh? Like, that's where a franchise consultant come in, speaking to an expert like yourself, to really educate someone for that type of decision.
Sure. It is a big decision, and you need to really know yourself to know what you're looking for. If you want an absolute 100% proven concept that's been around, tried and true, then you're going to want to join one of the big chains that have been around for 20 plus years that have,
right,
you know, thousands of units. But if you're more an entrepreneur and you kind of want to feel things out and be a part of the growth strategy of an organization and impact some of the marketing decisions and decisions,
right,
from an operations standpoint for an organization, then you're going to look towards a smaller company that you can have impact, that you could be on the Franchise Advisory Council,
right,
that you could really be involved with decisions that the company makes for growing the brand forward.
If you have more territory, be in on the early part of the curve for that franchise that maybe has had some success so far, but they're really early in their process. So, yeah, real interesting.
Mm. Yep.
In 2006,
thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.